Good morning. I'd like to welcome each one of you here in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm so glad you're here to praise our Savior, to praise his birth, to find joy in singing and learning about his life and his eventual death and resurrection. I've titled my sermon today, God Saves. The name Jesus means God saves. And I'm going to begin reading in Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God spake at sundry times and in diverse manners. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So he spake to us, his people, by the prophets. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom all things he made the worlds, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. He was Son of God. He submitted himself to the Father in all things that the Father commanded him, and he offered himself up willingly for my sins and for yours. God saves. I'd like to read now in Mosiah chapter 1. One of these prophets, the prophet Abinadi, he gave his life for those that he preached to. He was martyred, and before his death, he preached this sermon, and he prophesied of Christ. And he spoke of other prophets that prophesied of Christ. So I'm going to read in Mosiah chapter 1, verse 92. Mosiah chapter 1, verse 92. And I'm going to read through verse 109. And again, my brethren, I would call your attention, for I have somewhat to speak unto you. For behold, I have things to tell you concerning that which is to come. And the things which I shall tell you are that it hath been made known unto me by an angel from God, and he said unto me, awake. And I awoke, and behold, he stood before me. And he said unto me, awake and hear the words which I shall tell thee. For behold, I am come to declare thee glad tidings of great joy. I'm come to make it known unto you something that's going to happen, that's going to bring joy, great joy. For the Lord hath heard thy prayers, and hath judged of thy righteousness, and hath sent me to declare unto thee that thou mayest rejoice, and that thou mayest declare unto thy people that they may also be filled with joy. For behold, the time cometh, and is not far distant, that with power the Lord omnipotent, who reigneth, which was and is from eternity to all eternity, shall come down from heaven among the children of men, and shall dwell in a tabernacle of clay, flesh. We were made of the dust. So this is a tabernacle of clay. So the Lord omnipotent will come and be in the flesh. And by the way, he did that so that he could be as we are, faced with our temptations, our struggles, our trials, and our afflictions, and be tempted like we are, and yet without sin. And so he came in this tabernacle of clay to show us the way and also know how to give us help when we're in need of help, when we're going through those trials. 98, and shall go forth amongst men working mighty miracles, such as healing the sick, raising the dead, causing the lame to walk, and the blind to receive their sight, and the deaf to hear, and curing all manner of diseases. And he shall cast out devils, or the evil spirits which dwell in the hearts of the children of men. And lo, he shall suffer temptations and pain of body, hunger, thirst, and fatigue, even more than man can suffer, except it be unto death. For behold, blood cometh from every pore, so great shall be his anguish for the wickedness and the abominations of his people. Have you ever felt like that when, with relatives of yours, when they're doing something they shouldn't be doing, you feel anguish for them, you're concerned about their souls? And he was concerned for us. That's why he came and was tempted and had this, and suffered all these types of pain, hunger, and thirst. That's why he came down and took upon him flesh. And he shall be called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and earth, and the creator of all things from the beginning. And his mother shall be called Mary. And lo, he cometh unto his own, that salvation might come unto the children of men. That's his purpose. God saves. That's why he came. And lo, he cometh unto his own, that salvation might come unto the children of men. Being saved from our sins, because our sins, because we have been disobedient to God, that is sin, there is a punishment affixed. Punishment is death. And he came to save us from that death, to change us, to help us to repent and to turn to him and follow his example and be forgiven of our sins and to have life eternity with him. Salvation. And lo, he cometh unto his own, that salvation might come unto the children of men, even through faith on his name, Jesus. God saves. And even after all this, they shall consider him as a man, and say that he hath a devil, and shall scourge him, and shall crucify him. And he shall rise the third day from the dead, and behold, he standeth to judge the world. And behold, all these things are done, that a righteous judgment might come upon the children of men. For behold, and also his blood atoneth for the sins of those who have fallen, by the transgression of Adam, who have died not knowing the will of God concerning them, or who have ignorantly sinned. I want to stop a minute. I want to apologize. I said to you this was Abinadi. We're going to be reading from Abinadi later on. This is actually King Benjamin in his proclamation to his people. He's speaking to them. He was a righteous king who was obedient to God's word, and because of his righteousness, God spoke to him, and he prophesied about our Savior. I'll continue now in verse 108. But woe, woe unto him who knoweth that he rebelleth against God, for salvation cometh to none such. Now, if we just left it there at that word, we'd have no hope, because we've all rebelled against him. But it says, it's except it be through repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance, our turning from our sins and those desires of our flesh, and turning to him
and to the desires of our God, His will, submitting our will to His will, repentance. And then faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, on His merits, what He did, what He suffered, His death and His resurrection that give us hope of that salvation. Faith on Him, meaning what He said to do, we do it because we will know. We know that it leads us to that salvation. Verse 109, and the Lord God hath sent His holy prophets among all the children of men to declare these things to every kindred, nation, and tongue, that thereby whosoever should believe that Christ should come, this was before Christ came, the same might receive remission of their sins and rejoice with exceeding great joy, even as though he had already come among them. So that hope was to them as well before Christ came. Christ was declared by the prophets so they would know about him, so that they would have some belief in him according to their knowledge, that they might be obedient to God's commandments. And they too had a hope in him. And thankfully, these people here in the Book of Mormon were given a knowledge of his name even. Given a knowledge, a clear knowledge of who he would be, what his purpose was, what he would do, and that he came to save even them. Please turn with me now to Isaiah, another one of those prophets. And this prophecy is given to King Ahaz. In Isaiah chapter 7, Isaiah chapter 7, beginning in verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Butter and honey shall he eat, and that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. And this did happen before Christ's birth. Both the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, their kings were forsaken. In other words, they were scattered. Let's turn to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And this is a prophecy about Bethlehem being where Jesus would be born. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting. He was from the beginning. He was with God in the beginning. Now on to scriptures of his birth. In Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost, conceived by the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, making him son of God. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, God saves. For he shall save his people from their sins. That's our tidings of great joy. That though we have disobeyed him, we can turn from those sins and turn to our God who was willing to offer up his son for our sins. Don't let us allow him to die on the cross in vain for us. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall bring forth a son. We just read this prophecy. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. God saves. Turn with me now to Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and we will read about Mary's experience with an angel. Luke 1, 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus, God saves. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, and be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now I'm going to turn to Mosiah 8, back to another prophecy. And this is that prophecy I was referring to earlier of Abinadi, who was martyred because he loved the people so much and was obedient to God in declaring the good news of Jesus Christ. Mosiah chapter 8, beginning in verse 11. And he told about Moses prophesying of Jesus' coming. For behold, did not Moses prophesy unto them concerning the coming of the Messiah, and that God should redeem his people? Yea, and even all the prophets which have prophesied since the world began, have they not spoken more or less concerning these things? Have they not said that God himself should come down among the children of men and take upon him the form of man and go forth in mighty power upon the face of the earth? Yea, and have they not said also that he should bring to pass the resurrection of the dead, and that he himself should be oppressed and afflicted? Yea, even doth not Isaiah say, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her slaughter or her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? Who shall make known his formation, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no evil, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. Are you his seed? Will you declare his generation? He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. He made the payment for you and I. He reconciled us. And now Abinadi saith unto them, I would that ye should understand that God himself shall come down among the children of men and shall redeem his people. And because he dwelleth in flesh, he shall be called the Son of God. and having subjected the flesh to the will of the Father, being the Father and the Son, the Father because he was conceived by the power of God, and the Son because of the flesh, thus becoming the Father and the Son, and they are one God, yea, the very eternal Father of heaven and earth, and thus the flesh becoming subject to the Spirit, or the Son to the Father, being one God, suffereth temptation and yieldeth not to the temptation, but suffereth himself to be mocked and cast out and disowned by his people. And after all this, and after working many mighty miracles among the children of men, he shall be led, yea, even as Isaiah said, as a sheep before the shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Yea, even so he shall be led, crucified, and slain, the flesh becoming subject unto death, and the will of the Son being swallowed up in the will of the Father. And that's what he wants from you and I. He wants our will to be swallowed up into the Father's will. He wants us to submit ourselves totally, our souls totally, to him, that we might have joy, that we might have peace, that we might have salvation. Yea, again, verse 34, even so he shall be led, crucified, and slain, the flesh becoming subject unto death, and the will of the Son being swallowed up into the will of the Father, in the will of the Father, and thus God breaketh the bands of death, that punishment that was affixed because of our sins. Having gained the victory over death, giving the Son power to make intercession for the children of men, having ascended into heaven, having the bowels of mercy, being filled with compassion toward the children of men, standing betwixt them and justice, having broken the bands of death, taking upon himself their iniquity and their transgressions, having redeemed them and satisfied the demands of justice. And now I say unto you, who shall declare his generation? Who will make known his formation, his birth, his life by following his example, his death, and his resurrection? Will you believe him today on the 25th, on Easter, and every other day in between? Will you submit to him? Will you trust him? It was a great sacrifice that he made, more than any of us have ever made. He is willing that we declare his generation. I'm going to finish by reading Omni, chapter 1, verse 46 and 47. And now, my beloved brethren, I would that ye should come unto Christ, which is the Holy One of Israel, and partake of his salvation and the power of his redemption. Yea, come unto him and offer your whole souls as an offering to him, and continue in fasting and prayer, and endure to the end. And as the Lord liveth, you will be saved. I want you to remember from this sermon, Jesus, God saves. Whenever you think about his name, remember that he saves, and he did it specifically for you.